Just to clear a couple things, first of all, John told me yesterday he was going to speak 10 minutes and I would have 30. And he spoke 20, so. No, that's just a joke. I was sitting there just now, and I remember when I was a kid at Berean Bible Church, this church when I was in the other place, in a type of situation where the first person spoke, and I thought it was the only speaker, and I was at the end of my whole line of the family that would sit on one side all the time in Berean Bible Church. And when that first speaker spoke, I ran to my dad and said, the church service is over already. And then he told me, no, there's another messenger. So if you're feeling, oh, no, I thought it was over, it's not over. So just wanted to clear that up. I also wanted to clear up one other thing before we continue. Yes, I am the father of Tara, Cameron, Aaron, and Ellen Ray, who are coming to this church. So that, I just want to clear that up. And a missionary to Costa Rica with Grace Ministries International. And John this morning has been talking about, or setting up, the whole theme of this week, okay? This world is in a terrible condition. This world doesn't mean just out there in Africa or in Costa Rica or in Europe or in Asia. This world is in bad shape here in the United States. We just have to look at the political situations and what people are talking about, how we're changing things on homosexuality and all these kind of things. This world is in terrible shape, and it needs Jesus Christ, and it needs a light. And I'd like to get that up there, that candle that John had up there. Is it going to go up there? There it is. And we're talking about for the life of the world, okay? The world needs a light, and that light needs to be us. And the question is, are we going to be that light? Are we going to give life to this world, okay? And that's the question. Jesus, we have to give Jesus to this world. And it's not just the world that's this huge world. If we're trying to think about, oh man, I'm going to give my light to in life to all this world, that seems impossible. I know I feel many times so small, so insignificant. But it's a life that has to go to your world, okay? Your world, where you are, exactly in your neighborhood, with your family, starting with your family, and then at your job, and everywhere you go in your world. The question is, are we giving this light, this life to the world? And that's where I'm heading in this part of this message. The thing is I think sometimes and most times we hide. We hide in a little bit of a shadow in the darkness. Oh yeah, people know that. Yeah, the people in my work, they know I'm Christian. But how many people say they're Christians? And what we're seeing in the message for this whole week of this mission week, we're seeing a call to no longer hide. No more hiding. Sometimes we want to be invisible, to blend in, to become chameleons. Huh? Chameleon Christians? Yeah, well, yeah, people know that I'm a Christian, but I don't want to cause any waves. I don't want to get anybody mad at me. You know, to say that I am saved by God's grace, I know I am going to heaven. There is no doubt about it. And it's only through Jesus Christ. You know how many people are going to say that's a bunch of baloney? You just saw 52% of Christians think there's other ways. And we say, well, I can't say I'm saved and I'm sure of it and it's only through Jesus Christ because other people get mad at me. And so we want to become the chameleon type of Christians to hide in the shadows. And this is a call to be invisible no more. This is to come out. As the homosexual crowd say, we're going to come out of the closet. No, we need to get out of the closet. We need to say, here we are. We are followers of Jesus Christ. And this world needs Jesus Christ. And I have Jesus Christ. And you know what? He dwells in me. And people say, what? Yeah, God dwells in me. How often have we said that to somebody? God dwells in me. Wow. Sometimes we think we're real clever. Yeah, everybody knows I'm a Christian. But there we are, just blending in. And that's not what we're called to do. John mentioned the verse that we're studying this week. And it begins by saying, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." Workmanship is the word poema in Greek. What does it sound like? Poema. It's the exact sounding in Spanish, poema. What is it? Poem, poetry. We're talking about we are God's poetry. We're talking about God's creativity in this word. The only other place that it's used in the Bible is Romans chapter 1, verse 20, where it says, "For the invisible things of him which is God," well, that didn't work out, "from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." The word poema, right there, is the one in red, "the things that are made." And it's speaking about Jesus Christ created this world. God created everything in this world, and that is his handiwork. It's his creation, and it's talking about the visible things that we can see. And so that word poema is talking about God's creativity in making everything that's visible in this world. And the invisible God can be seen. His power, his sovereignty, his everything about him can be seen in this creation. So we can take a look at the sun and say, wow, there's God. It has a purpose, not only to give heat, but it has the purpose of giving out the knowledge of who Jesus, who God is. We could go out to the, did you see the news this last week that they found a galaxy? The furthest one that they found? I don't remember how many, I don't even know what number it was. Millions of light years away. And they're going, wow, it's astounding we found it. It's astounding that God made it out there. And it probably continues and continues and continues. And that reveals who Jesus and who God really is. And then we come to the eye of a fly, the wings of a butterfly. We come to the making of the DNA in us, and we say, wow, God is present. And that's what that verse is talking about, the poema, the things that are made, things that are physically made. But when we come to Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 10, God's poema is, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus." And now we're dealing with something different. We're not dealing with his handiwork, his creation, that's something physical, unless when you accepted Jesus Christ, all of a sudden you became a different person physically. Which one of you, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, all of a sudden, I didn't. I still got it. I didn't get any more hair. It was something internal. It was spiritual. And now all of a sudden, the moment that we accepted Jesus Christ, he created us anew. We are new creatures. And you know what that's talking about? That's God's righteousness. And that's God's presence coming within us. And we're a new creation. We are God's handiwork. We are special. We are one of a kind, each one of us, because he comes within us, and we are all different, and he is going to work in our lives in different ways. And we are God's handiwork. Today, nowadays, we talk about, well, I need my kid to have high self-esteem. I do not believe that one bit. We should have Christ's esteem. We need to take a look at who we are in Christ. We do not need high self-esteem. We need to take a look at God has made us so special. We are his masterpiece. Wow, that is what is so neat. We are God's poetry. So there's a purpose. We don't hide. That's what John said. We just don't hide his workmanship and just say, oh, we're going to put it in the closet. Right? It's for a purpose. It's for others. Javier, would you throw me what you have under your chair? I had to sneak this in this morning because I knew some of you were going to get really angry at me. That's good. You know, this was made for a purpose. I was wondering how I could get that in here. I know you. Most of you are Lions fans, and now you're mad at me, and I've lost all possibilities of getting any support for the missions and stuff. That doesn't matter to me. Think about this thing. It has a purpose, right? Somebody created a cheesehead. Now, tell me, how many games do the Lions play every year? Football, American football? 16. So a person that was bought something like this, and I didn't buy this, okay? I don't have one. But the person who bought something like this, how often would he use this hat? Basically, 16 times. What are the days that mainly the Lions play on? Almost always. We won't talk about Monday night football and Thursday night and all that kind of stuff. But, okay, 16 times wearing it, 16 times on Sunday. Is that who we are as Christians? Is that what our purpose is? To go maybe 16, 25 times to church, and that's it? You know, sometimes we define our Christianity as something that's similar to this cheesehead. My Christianity is on Sunday, and on Sunday I go to church. And that's my responsibility as a Christian. That's my purpose. I don't want to be a cheesehead. Well, I do, but not for the team. But we are not made with the purpose of just having salvation and saying, I'm free of hell. And now I can sit on the bench and I can live my life how I want to because I'm saved from hell. That's not the purpose of salvation. We have the purpose to reveal, live, and make known. We have the purpose to reveal, live, and make known God's glory and God's grace. That is our purpose. It's not 16 Sundays a year. It's not 52 Sundays a year. It's 365 days a year, all my lifetime. That is our purpose. It's a life on purpose. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. To some verses that are super, super strong, okay? And it reveals our purpose. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14. But thanks be to God. Oh, thank you, God. Who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Oh, man. If we could just understand a little bit about, this isn't getting a life of perfection. This is God saying, Paul saying, wow, we have triumph in Jesus Christ already. And even if people come against us, we have a purpose and we can live it even if we are rejected. And he says, verse 14, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. And the guy goes by and says, whoa, this bread smells so good. People should go by us as they live with us and saying, holy cow. There is some kind of a smell with this person, and it's different. They may not like it, but they're going to say, there is a smell coming out of his life that's different. And he says he's a Christian. She says she's a Christian. There's an aroma of Jesus Christ. Verse 15, for we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. We are a smell, a fragrance. To all people, some who for life, some for perishing, but we are Christ's aroma. And verse 16, look at this. To the one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? What is our purpose? Our purpose is to reveal, to make alive, to make known who Jesus Christ is, to give him glory in everything we do, to present his grace, his life to others. Which one are we living? So we're made with a purpose, God's work of art, his masterpiece. We're made with the design, but notice the dog. Are we listening? I know Rush Creek is an example church. I love Rush Creek. I love that my daughter's here working here, and now my son's starting to work here. This is great. But are we listening? And we know if we're listening, if we're living. Yep, you. Are you listening? Yeah, I'm talking about you. Are you listening? Please, are you listening? I would like you to listen. Because we're made with a purpose. It's God's plan, and then therefore we have our purpose in Christ Jesus. We are His workmanship for a purpose. So we need to listen. The problem is, instead of living God's design, so often what we live is my life. And I'm going to do what I want to do. And don't tell me to change my plans, because they're my plans. I have a bucket list, and I'm going to complete that. You know, the bucket list is so huge nowadays. Oh, what's on your bucket list? Let's go and do my bucket list. Christians, we should have a bucket list? We should. Go ahead and have a bucket list. But that's not what we're living for. We're living to share, reveal, make known God's glory. Not to do what my bucket list is. What's a shoe made for? To wear on your foot. High heels? For a dress. To look a little bit more elegant. Right? Would you take your high heel and use it as a hammer? Would you take, pliers? Ladies? And take out your hair out of your eyebrows? No, they have their own design. Would you cut your lawn with the scissors? Can you see Pastor John doing that? Pastor, what you doing? Cutting the lawn. It's going to take me a month. With a wood saw, cutting your fruit? How about vacuuming the yard? That would be pretty stupid. How about taking your brush that you use on the floors and then brushing your teeth with it? See, things have a design. God created us with a design to glorify Him. We fell into sin, and then we come to know the Lord. And what is our design? Our design is not to go and make money. Our design is not to make a future on this earth. It's not to have heaven on this earth. It's not to be a potato on a chair or a couch. And it's definitely not to be a pew potato. Oh, Chuck, that's not nice to put there. It's the truth. I preach these things in Costa Rica, and I'm only here one time, so I can preach it to you. We have a purpose. We have a mission. It's God's glorious design that we serve Him, give to Him in all aspects in our life. It doesn't matter where we're at. It doesn't matter if you're not a missionary. It matters that we're all called to be ambassadors, representatives of His. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Just need to say this real quickly. There's a huge contrast in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 with Ephesians 2, 10. Because 2:10 says it's for good works. What does 8 and 9 say? That's the contrast. It's not by works. Salvation is not by works. It's not by your human effort. That's what Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says. Salvation is by grace through faith. But then the very next verse says, created for good works. So don't come around and say, it's not by works, Chuck. I'm not going to work. No. We're in a verse that says it is for works. So do good works really matter that much? Not for salvation. But if we are born again Christians, yes, they do. We are to declare God's glory and grace through a lifestyle of continuous good works all the time. All the time. We are not saved by works. We are saved for to do good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So that we would, get it? It's so obvious. We are to walk, we are to do them. We are to continually do them. It's a life of faith. It's a walk by faith. It's faith in action. And that's how we are to live. So therefore, we are to live a life of sacrifice on this earth. And we can call it sacrifice because according to all other people who are making lots of money and doing all these great things and vacationing and doing all these, you know, it's a sacrifice. But in the true aspect of the word, it's what we should do. It's what we should want to do. Jesus Christ said, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. He came to serve, not to be served. You know, try to change it. Okay, I'm a Christian, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to get all comfortable, okay? And I'm going to live for myself. And I'm going to live so that nobody feels bad. And I'm going to follow my plan. It just doesn't fit, because that's not what we're called for. We're called to do good works. Men, you are to be spiritual leaders to your wife, to your children, and in this church. And a spiritual leader means you know what the good works are. You are to be God's representative to all of them and to the people who you work with. And your pursuit is that they become holy, your wife and your children. And it's not that you just get them money. Your pursuit is your own holiness and the holiness of your wife and your children and your church. And women? Yeah. You should be subject to your husbands. And you should be pushing your husband to be that leadership person in your life. In all ways. I am so glad that I have a wife that says, Chuck, it's time to do devotions. And she gives me the leadership. She pushes me to be the spiritual leader in my home. Church. The church, hey, church, it's your job to unify the Christians, brothers and sisters. We're all important, every single one of us, a workmanship of Christ. And find ways that we can reach out and do it more and more with mission and vision towards what God wants us to be doing. We have to have courage. It takes courage. It's not going to be easy. There are people going to be, what a jerk. What a kind of a man are you? You can say, well, I can't do it. No, I can't do it. Well, that's what Jesus Christ wants us to say. We can't do it because he wants to. When we're weak, then we are strong. We need a passion for good works, zealous for good works. Refuse to do evil. No sin. No sin. You're thinking about something and sin? Don't do it. Let's be different. Whoops. Well, the last one was for the life of the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, for the mission's theme of for a life to the world. God, we pray that that would begin with us, our lives, where we're at, in our own homes, with our own wives, with our own kids, with our in our own neighborhoods, with our own work. God, I just pray that in this church, too, that's where we'd become more and more faithful and see the opportunities to serve with other people who are different from us and alike from us. And so, God, I just pray that you'd guide and direct so that we'd be this life for the world. In your precious name, amen.